eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Very nice. And now for the moment at hand, you've got five different fan bases waiting to hear the words about to come out of your mouth. This is your moment. Enjoy it. Tell us where you're going to be playing your college basketball.
I'll be playing my college basketball at the University of Illinois.
Welcome into the On Enquirer podcast. Another big day for Illinois basketball recruiting for Brad Underwood, Chester Frazier, and the rest of the Illini staff as they're on the board in the class of 2023 with a big time commitment. And Derek Piper is joining me now to break down what we just saw on the 24/7 Sports YouTube channel. Great job by Adam Finkelstein, Eric Bossy, our great team of 24/7's basketball analysts. And I'm not doing that just to suck up to those guys. I think they do a great job. And, you know, those are two additions over the last year that I think have been great on the national scene. I'll play a little bit of the Imani interview, a little bit of the Bossy analysis at the end of this podcast. But, Derek, we had a good idea. You put the crystal ball in. We talked about it. But how do you feel now that Illinois is on the board with one of the top 60 prospects in the country?
It's a huge get for Illinois, obviously, when you get a chance to get the guy that's at the top of your board. And it's always a great feeling for a staff when you identify your top target in that class and you're ultimately able to land him. And that was what happened today by locking up Imani Hansberry. And they got in at the perfect time. They played it perfectly, and they were in a bit of an advantage, which they haven't had, you know, in the past. When we look at some of these, you know, I thought back to Xavier Simpson or Colin Castleton, where Illinois maybe was the team that did the most legwork and worked the hardest, but then Michigan shows up. And to Chester's credit, it wasn't like that for Illinois, and that they were just showing up on the scene very, very late. Because as we saw with Auburn and Oregon and even Maryland trying to jump in June, it was too late for those programs, and he didn't really consider them all that much. And that spoke to Chester's relationship and the way that he worked it, the fact that he knew Imani very well. And then once Illinois decided to go all in May, they just had more appeal than Penn State and just kind of play a little bit of recruiting bully ball. And in that type of a sense, being able to have the winning, to have the development that they've started to show with Kofi, with Io, with obviously Fletch, and there's just a lot more resources at Illinois as well. So a lot of credit to Chester for working this one. And then just with the evaluation piece too. I mean, this was not a guy that was ranked inside the top 100, even the top 120 at the time there late in the spring. And Illinois trusted what they saw. And ultimately, he just continued to produce and be a double-double guy in the UIBL circuit, did it against guys that were ranked way higher than him, and ultimately sits here today at 52 and still has a chance to go up a little bit higher through his senior season.
Let's pause and focus, Derek, on the ability to recruit now for Illinois and how much winning matters and how much hiring the right people matters. Over the last year, right, and maybe even less than a year, Illinois has added Sky Clark, the number 33 prospect in the composite, Ty Rogers, number 53, Jaden Epps, number 72. Sincere Harris would have been the top prospect in a lot of previous Illinois recruiting classes over the last couple decades, last decade and a half, and he's number 109, and he's the fourth guy in that class. We go to 2023, you get Imani Hansberry. Of course, his composite's going to go up. We helped with that. 24/7 Sports has him up to number 52 after his big spring and summer. Zachary Perrine, not ranked, but obviously had a really good offer list. And then you add two of the best transfers on the market with Matthew Meyer and Terrence Shannon, and Dane Danger, who is one of the top 100 transfers, right? This is a program that can recruit at a high level. I know this is elementary, Derek, but it's changed a lot in the last 2 years, and we've talked about it previously, but hiring Chester Frazier, who's gotten his kind of guys, and I want to break out into Chester here in a second, but Imani, Epps, Sincere Harris, adding Tim Anderson, who's had the best recruiting run I've ever seen from an Illinois assistant, Rogers, Clark, Shannon, Meyer, Danger, Merez Johnson in 2024, ZZ Clark in 2024. It's one of the ridiculous runs, but it also just has to do with winning. Illinois basketball is a sexy program again.
Yeah, they definitely are, and they are capitalizing on their appeal, on their winning, and just parlaying that into more success when you're able to bring in this kind of talent and reload the way they did this offseason, despite the fact you lose like your entire backcourt, but because of the way you recruited with Epps and Harris and Sky coming in, being able to put yourself in a position to still have a really talented team. You open up the portal now and be able to make some major moves there. And it's just, it was a pivotal time when you think back to, I know it's easy to go back to, and you should, when Brad lost all three assistants and you just wondered what that was going to look like, and you knew you were going to have Kofi for much longer. Maybe he was going to go that offseason, but to be able to get Chester and Tim and Jeff and the way that they've produced here in the first year and a half being on staff is just really, really impressive. It speaks to Brad too. And then, yeah, just the bar has been elevated so high where it's just, I mean, in the last two classes, they've had four guys that are in the 24/7 top 60. Like that's talent. You're stocking up and being able to the standard of having, you know, oh yeah, a top 100 recruit used to be one like, oh yeah, how about a top 100 guy? Now it's just kind of regular, and that's just what they're doing. And I think that we'll just continue to see them recruit at this type of a level, and that puts you in a position to have a lot of success and compete with the big boys in the Big Ten.
I mean, it's getting back to a Selfian level of Illinois recruiting, right? Like Bill Self was, D. Brown was a big one. Io was a big one for Brad Underwood. Kofi was a big one. But it's getting back to that kind of level where you're expecting to get guys in the top 75. And if you're getting into these battles with some other solid to good programs, you're almost expecting to win them. So, again, I just want to reset, and you always go back to this is for Illinois basketball on the floor and in recruiting. It is kind of going back to a golden era of potential here. This could be a year people look back on, or an era people look back on, man, that was a lot of fun. Now you just want to go farther in the NCAA tournament, but getting guys like Imani Hansberry certainly helps. Before we get more into Imani as a player here, Derek, I want to ask you your favorite comp, because we love that game. Chester Frazier, what's he bring to the recruiting trail? I'm sensing a type from him. Jaden Epps kind of got that dog in him. Imani Hansberry, yep, kind of got that dog in him. Sincere Harris kind of got that dog in him. He seems to be recruiting Chester Frazier kind of mentalities in very talented boxes. You know, Chester is a good player, but he seems to be doing that. But also, what do you think the impact of him being able to recruit to his alma mater is?
He obviously has a lot of passion for Illinois. That's easy to tell. And just some of the characteristics that he had as a player definitely then permeate into his coaching, and then also him as a recruiter, and the way that he builds relationships and the way that he goes after guys. He's a bulldog, he's tough, and he's relentless. I mean, that was one thing that you knew as when he was on the court, was like he was not going to be outworked. And it's, you hear, you know, you talk to Brad and you just hear around the staff, or just you talk to guys that he recruits, and Chester, when he wants a guy, he's going to be on him. He's going to be talking to everybody in his camp, and he's going to be doing everything he can to make sure, you know, he's going to work the hardest of anyone as far as guys that are going after him. So he's been able to establish that. He's definitely targeted the toughness, targeted guys that relate well to him, or that obviously that works with Brad as well, and that culture that they've established, and wanting toughness, wanting all-out effort, wanting that to be unquestioned parts of this basketball team. And then, yeah, you throw in the talent part of that as well. And that's the ideal. That's the sweet spot for this program, is finding guys that have that drive, that have that toughness, and that are really talented players. So he seeked that out. And I think that Chester just, he relates well to those type of guys because he was someone that, that played that way and did it in Illinois uniform, to your point, which I think helps even more from the Illinois cell.
Remember when we were fretting? Everybody was fretting about who they were going to hire. It's worked out pretty well, this combination of guys. And Jeff Alexander got on the board with Zachary Perrine there. Hansberry said of Chester, he was the number one factor. I didn't know anything about Illinois until Chester reached out. When he reached out to me, it was big because I'd always seen Illinois here and there on TV and knew it was a big program, but I didn't realize how big it is in Champaign, how big of a basketball school it was. Him being from the area and going there and then knowing people in that area I'm connected with really got the ball rolling. And it sounds like the Geese College of Business was really big for him. So, Derek, I know we kind of covered this in the last podcast, but how was Illinois, like, why did they hone in on him so early before he blew up on the circuit, and how were they able to close the deal here?
So Chester's been familiar with him for a long time. Obviously, he's very tied into the East Coast hoop scene. And Amani, earlier on in his high school career, was maybe even a little bit more highly touted than he was, you know, just a couple of months ago. I know that he was thought of as one of the better players coming up, and then had some, as he spoke to in his announcement, had some up and downs with his progression and really trying to find his niche as a player and what ultimately made it work for him. But Virginia Tech was the first high major program to offer him. Chester was on staff at that time. That was back in late 2019. And while Chester wasn't the lead guy, obviously was very familiar with Amani. And as soon as he gets here at Illinois, he starts getting involved with Amani, and they offered last fall. And Illinois at the time wasn't making him a top priority. They were in the mix, but they weren't really pressing all the way. But Chester building that relationship gave them a foundation to where if they decided to go all in, they would have that. So Chester working that relationship, the fact that he knew his AAU guys, Team Durant in the EYBL, he's done a good job with his parents as well. And then when Amani was just going off in the EYBL late in the spring, and I think at that time Illinois was still trying to decide, are we going to make a move now because we know this window is going to close, where if we don't do it, then he might not consider us. If we try to get in too late, we might be in that same box as Auburn and Oregon. If we try to just push the gas in July, and he's like, sorry, it's too late, I'm going to Penn State, or what if that would have been how it played out. So Illinois late in May says, we're going all in. And it was the perfect time to where he was still pretty open. He takes that official visit in June, and I think they blew him away with everything they had to offer, with the facilities, with the development, with academics were really important to him as well, with the College of Business. And I think he just connected really well with Chester and the staff, and they made it known throughout the rest of the summer. I mean, they weren't going to have any less than two coaches at PCM. They were three deep at like all of his games. And that was just, that sent a clear message that, hey, we're going all out for you. And, you know, we feel like we should win this recruitment, and they did.
Yeah. Poor Penn State, man. If they put in the good effort there, and it's just Illinois, a different level of program. Illinois fans have been used to that, and now it's a different age, as we talked about.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, we love playing the comp game. Who doesn't? I mean, we're all suckers for it, of who this guy plays like, who they could be. We use them loosely. I think people understand we're not saying he's going to be this player, he's exactly this player. Every player is different. Every, you know, personality is different. Every game is different. But when we play the comp game, Illinois, apparently, according to Hansberry, is saying that they compare him to Al Horford. They could be his Al. They could be, he could be their Al Horford. Boss, you just compared him to the guy we love. Does everything. Turned into an NBA Hall of Famer. Not saying he's going to be him, but Bossy compares him to Draymond Green, who we've used that for Ty Rogers too. Who just does a little bit of everything. Shooting is the question mark. What's your favorite comp, Derek? I'm going to throw another one out there. Kind of a guy who was maybe a little oversized when he was young, had to cut down, had to trim up. Rest in peace to him. But Caleb Swanigan is another one that might come to mind a little bit.
Yeah, I could definitely see that one. I know that even some say a little bit of a Travion vibe as well. You could throw that in there too. Al Horford is the guy that came to mind for me when I started this first really hone in on his game late in the spring. I know that he's not as tall as Horford, not as good of an athlete as Horford was, especially when you go back to his Florida days, his early time in the NBA. He's not as explosive as that kind of a guy. But
I'm just remembering now, Derek, sorry to interrupt, like him and Joakim Noah are like the same age, and Joakim's been retired for a few years. It looked like an old man, and Al Horford was one of the most important players in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Still doing it. So maybe old man Al Horford. I think that might be play style wise something that really correlates with Hansberry, because he is someone that with Horford is a guy that can grab a rebound and push the ball off the floor. He's someone that can extend out to the perimeter and facilitate, can make a jump shot if he's open. I know his three point shot needs to get better as time goes on, but I thought in July he really established that he's got a pretty good mid range shot. It's kind of that set shot. It looks like Horford almost, the way that he releases it high and everything. And then in the post, he's very skilled. He can finish with both hands, and he's just kind of that crafty, gritty postman that can play in the paint but then also extend out. And I think defensively he's someone that has some versatility, and because of the way he moves and how hard he's going to play defensively, he can switch on the guys. I know Horford in the past has switched on the guards and been able to have success there. We'll see if Hansberry is athletic enough to do that, but he does have a little bit of that versatility defensively. So I know if you're throwing out a bigger version of Ty, if you want to say Draymond, I see the pieces of all of them, and look, they're not, comps aren't perfect.
Yeah.
But yeah, Horford as far as play style is what really stands out to me.
Yeah, I like that one too. All right, so 2023, Hansberry comes in. Is Coleman Hawkins going to be here? I think they're planning for that potentially to not be here, and that'd be a great thing for him, great thing for the program. Dane Danger likely still here. Ty Rogers, Zachary Perrine. In 2024, you add Merez Johnson. Derek, this is the kind of front court depth, versatility we haven't seen at Illinois in a really long time. And I should add Luke Goody, RJ Melendez to that, right? Because those guys can play that. RJ can play the 2 through 4 potentially, but you just have so much versatility, so many options. And how many previous years? I mean, we're sitting there talking about Aaron Jordan having to play the 4 at times, right? Like even last year, Jacob Grandison is having to play the 4 a lot. This is a different front court they're piecing together. So how does Hansberry fit into that puzzle?
I think that he's probably mostly going to be in that small ball 5 type of range. He could play the 4 a little bit, but I know that if you're thinking big picture, they really like the way that he fits with Merez, because Merez is that really explosive athlete. I mean, those two together could really, really hit the glass and rebound well. And Hansberry can, with the way that he passes, if his jump shot continues to get better, he's someone that could, you play a little bit of that high-low action, you throw Merez down posting up on a four-man, and Hansberry's going to feed him, and just kind of got that skill of Hansberry, and then you got the explosiveness of Merez. And yeah, Zachary Perrin's another guy that is long and skilled, and I think that they complement each other pretty well, because Perrin's going to be a pretty big staple in that front court if he progresses into the type of player they think he can be, because he's got pretty good upside. And Hansberry, again, just that physical, will do anything type of player to make plays. He's just very scrappy, and then you got some skill and length in Perrin, and Dane has a number of years left of eligibility as well, so he'll be in that mix. We'll see what it'll look like with James Brown, because you're still gonna push the gas there and try to get James Brown, the borderline five-star big man. You know, he's high four-star now going after with Duke and North Carolina. But yeah, even if you don't get James, you put yourself in a position to have a lot of depth, a lot of talent. I think early on, because Coleman Hawkins on NBA draft boards right now on the mock draft for ESPN, if he leaves, there's going to be a decent opportunity for Imani to get on the floor as a freshman. And I think with the way his body is and the different things he brings to the table and the way he defends, he probably would get that opportunity if he comes in year one.
Just a lot of length, Derek. It's a lot. Like, yeah. Coleman, it's probably a 7-foot wingspan, right? We've heard of Dange's 7'5" or something like that. Ty Rogers has a huge wingspan. RJ does. Sincere Harris, right, has a huge wingspan for a guy his size. And now you add somebody like Hansberry, who's huge and really long. And it's just a different style of play. Like, is this the Baylor thing he's envisioning? Is this Brad Underwood turning into Baylor here? Is that what we're doing?
It's got to be. I mean, it's just another guy that fits that Baylor mold. I think you could play that type of switch defensively, have the physicality, just a lot more athleticism than you've been accustomed to in the past. And yeah, length and size across the board at multiple positions, and having some guys that are just, they're skilled too offensively. I mean, Ty being able to play 2 through 4, the fact that Imani is skilled enough probably to play the 4 and the 5, and I just have a number of guys that can slot into different spots and guard different positions. And yeah, the Baylor, I think Imani, you could also throw him in with like a Ty Rogers that would look, if you put him in a Michigan State uniform, you wouldn't think twice. So following along those lines now is becoming more and more clear. And I think Illinois has really established that for sure.
Illinois on the board officially number 50 class right now in the class of 2023. Of course, they're going to add more to that, Derek. The transfer portal always going to be important for them. But the class of 2023, where do they look now? Because I expect Hansberry will rise in the ranking, so that'll boost Illinois' class ranking for people who really care about that. But I'd expect they'd add some more pieces. So what are the positions? Who are some names?
They're really interested in adding a guard and another ball handler in the mix, a guy that can make plays off the dribble. Drake Gibbs-Lawhorn, the decommit from Purdue, who opened it up earlier this month, is someone that is becoming, based on what I've heard, a bigger priority for them as we've pushed forward. And I know that Tim Anderson's the lead guy for him. And it's interesting because there's going to be some big players. He's very talented. Memphis is already locked in an official visit for this fall. We'll see if Illinois is able. I think he will visit, whether they will use an official. I could see that as well. North Carolina's been thrown out there as interested. Gonzaga's been thrown out there as being in the mix as well. So it'll be a tough recruitment, but it's a guy that's in the top 100. I know he dropped a little bit in the recent rankings, but was in that top 50 range. Now he's down around top 75, but a very good shooter, plays at Mount Verde, similar to Sky Clark last year. Nicolo Moretti is also another guard from Italy. Yeah, Jeff Alexander is going to continue to be active in that international market. On that note, Alex Tui is a skilled forward with size from Australia. And then Brady Dunlap is also a 6'7" shooter out of California. So you're looking at guard, and then you're looking at kind of a wing forward that can shoot the three. I know that they definitely want a shooter. It's whether or not they, on the shooter part, it's whether to take one of those guys. I mean, Tui's going to be pursued by a lot of people. He already is. And then Dunlap's one of those. It'd be borderline. Do we take him, or do we wait and see what's going to be available mid-year or even after the year in the portal? So shooter, another guard, and then obviously Hansberry down low is a pretty good outlook for what that's going to look like pulling in for next year.
Yeah, Underwood's at least got something to talk about for the early signing period here. So that's a good one to do. Derek, I wanted to kind of put this, kind of throwing this at you, but I'm thinking of the best recruiting teams in the Big Ten. Illinois is in that elite tier, right? I mean, they've had a top five Big Ten recruiting class, I believe, four of the last 5 years, and the 1 year they weren't in there, they got Kofi Coburn. So they in the elite tier, would you say, for sure?
Yeah, I think they are. I think they've established that. Michigan, obviously, is, as far as the recruiting rankings go, they're always there. The last 3 years, it seemed they've had a top 10 class every year. Juwan's really had a lot of appeal there with being able to connect to kids. And just, I mean, Michigan is a very sexy brand. It has been for a long time. Ohio State, Chris Holtman's done a really good job of recruiting. They've always been able to be up there in the rankings recruiting-wise and towards the top of the Big Ten. So I'd say Michigan, Ohio State, Illinois. Michigan State was up there for a long time.
They're back, though, aren't they?
I know they're back with Xavier Booker and Jeremy Fears. They did come back. I was wondering about that because when they went, you know, not adding anyone in the portal this year, to everyone's surprise, or everyone's wondering what the heck's going on. And then there was a little bit of a gap in between the Jaren Jackson, Miles Bridges, Cassius Winston, and a couple of years there where they weren't pulling in the same type of guys. But all of a sudden, yeah, Izzo says that he's back. So, yeah, that's kind of the top tier. And I definitely think Illinois, you know, having a top 10 class nationally this past year, and just kind of like we talked about, setting the expectation of getting guys in that top 50 to top 75 range, and then what they're doing in the portal too, I think that puts them in an elite group in the Big Ten.
Yeah, since the Bingham Brown Henry class, they had one top 25 class, Michigan State, in the last 4 years. And then now they have the number two class currently. So, yeah, Michigan State, hey, if you're not going to recruit transfers, you better get really good prep players. They're doing that really well in the class of 2023. Holtman, I know some of it, Derek, is they get a lot of guys every class, it feels like, but they're adding constant top 100 guys and kind of, you know, Bryce Sensabaugh's tough physical player, like versatile players. He's doing a really good job recruiting. You're wondering if it'll play a little bit better on the court. They've been a good program. Maybe not the top-level program that Ohio State fans certainly expect sometimes. Michigan certainly is in that level. Is there anybody – is Indiana there with they're doing with the new coaching staff? Do you feel like they're back into that, given a couple five stars in the last class?
Yeah, that's a great point to bring up them. Jalen Hood-Schifino coming in as a five-star, and Malik Renew, and then also Tamar Bates was a pretty highly touted – like top 50 caliber of prospect as well. So probably just behind, I'd say they're behind Illinois just because Illinois had a little bit more volume here recently. But yeah, Indiana's definitely getting it going. And while he's not there yet, but we've seen Maryland have a lot of recruiting appeal in the past, and Kevin Willard's off to a fast start, not in that elite tier, but I'd say a team that, you know, a year from now, maybe you're looking at them as being back in that group as well. But yeah, Indiana is pushing that. And I mean, when you're recruiting five-star type of talent, they're certainly deserving of a mention as well.
Is there another team that you think can break through into that level? I mean, I like what Shrewsbury's doing. I kind of liked what the previous head coach Chambers did there in recruiting sometimes too. It's just you needed one more year, Tony Carr, and never kind of broke through. And then, of course, the allegations and everything. But Wisconsin's going to do what it does. Hoiberg's gotten some talent, but they never stay. Rutgers and Purdue kind of do their thing. Johnson's doing a good job. Minnesota kind of getting more kids to stay home. Northwestern, we know where they're going to recruit. I guess it would be Iowa, but
Iowa's going to run out of McCaffrey's.
That's the problem. And Sanford's, right? Like McCaffrey's and Sanford's. There's only so many of them, I think. But I was recruiting decent guys, but it's kind of a certain specific area in Western Illinois and in Iowa there. So I feel like they should have a good pitch given the guys they've produced there here recently.
Yeah, for sure. And also, I mean, they play a pretty fun style of play, the way that they get up and down and are really geared towards offensively, space and everything like that. And
it's a good brand. It's a fun college town. I just feel like there's another level that Iowa should be able to get to in recruiting.
I agree. And I think that Fran deserves credit because the guys he's gotten haven't really been – like Luka wasn't a surefire top 50 type of guy. Wieskamp was a pretty good get. But even like people – and I know that here this summer, and obviously we saw it ourselves last year, like people love Tony Perkins in the college basketball community, expecting – I know Big Ten coaches are expecting big things from him. So, yeah, I could see Iowa, if they continue to win and be a factor there in the top five of the Big Ten, to be able to take a step up. I think – Shrewsbury, and on the note of on this Hansberry recruitment, I think Penn State has shown that they're going to be a factor. Like, can they beat out a team that's in that elite tier? They're just going to get strong-armed by Illinois, or if it's, they're in a battle with a Michigan State. You wouldn't think that Penn State could win those type of things yet, but I think that Shrewsbury's done a really good job. He seems like he's a very good coach, and the question for them is if they – you know, can they tap into – there's a good talent pool in that Philly area and really on the East Coast as well. And they have a decent class because even missing on Hansberry, they got a top 100 forward last week as well. So I like what he's doing, but obviously it's going to be tough to beat an elite recruiting team at Penn State.
Derek, did you do Illinois fans a favor here by not declaring Hansberry your guy? I felt like you held back, right? Like he was your guy.
Oh, he was definitely – wait, hold up. He hasn't signed yet, right? Yeah, he was my guy. But I'm not – I thought I did Illinois fans a favor. Or I don't know if there is any correlation. I got blamed when I did it, and then they wouldn't go. So I'm just laying off for that. You know, I didn't want that on my reputation.
Did you hold back on Ty? Was Ty your guy last year?
I like.
I mean, I love Ty. I saw him one time. I'm like, get that guy. I want him on my team.
I think Epps would have been my guy.
Yeah,
because I got to see Epps on the AAU scene. I just fell in love with his bucket getting.
Yeah. Well, your first guy, Splash Pool, turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah. So I. Good job holding off there, man.
Well, with the way this staff is recruiting now, can I go back to just doing my guys because they have a lot more ability to get the type of guys that I was calling my guys? Maybe I should just not mess with anything because they got a good thing going, and if I start doing that, then it'll be easy to point the finger at what went wrong.
So Isaac Trotter and Jake Hassan are on one of my text threads, and sometimes they'll text like, hey, put on MLB Network, this guy is doing something in the sixth inning, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I always have my Billy Bob Thornton from Friday Night Lights GIF ready. Ain't no curses. So anybody that believes in that, there ain't no curses. Piper is not strong enough to have curses on your guys. It's just Illinois wasn't good enough at recruiting. Now they are. So you can not worry about that, Derek. I think you should go back to going with your guy.
Let's bring it back.
Yeah. Should we do a poll? If we did a poll, how many would say yes, go back to going with your guy? 10%? 15%?
Maybe. And nothing over 15% for sure. No. I'm going to start researching 2024, 2025. I need to get some my guy candidates to go on. We're going to bring it back. We'll see. Yeah. I don't think people will like it, but we got to do it.
Well, if there's a guy in the class of 2040, make it Cade Piper. Saw a picture of him recently. That's a 99th percentile guy.
It is. That's my guy. That's my guy for sure. 4 months old today. So, man, he's getting big. It's crazy that it's already been 4 months, and you know it goes fast, but it's
the days are long, really, the years are short. Somebody told me that, and it turns out to be very, very true. At the end of the day,
it's a new challenge, but most of it is really, really cool. So I've definitely learned that.
All right, Derek Piper, get back to Baby Cade, man. We appreciate the time as always and the insight.
Yep, always fun, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, I know many of you didn't get a chance to see or hear Imani Hansberry's decision. They did live on the YouTube channel for 24/7 Sports. Go follow them. They do so many college announcements there, but they also a lot of great analysis, college football and college basketball and recruiting. So go check that out and check out our Illini Inquirer YouTube page as well. We do a lot of podcasts there, a lot of our interviews there, but also we're starting to do some live podcasts on there. So check that out, and we'll try and grow that and do more with that, get more creative with it as we move forward as well. But here's Imani Hansberry talking with Adam Finkelstein about why he chose Illinois.
First of all, I want to ask you about your list, because you really did blow up in July, and I have no doubt that there were schools that weren't recruiting you initially that tried to jump in, but you stuck with schools that had been with you throughout the period. So tell me about that, you know, not just the recruiting period, but for years leading up to that. So tell me about that connection with Illinois and just that philosophy that you had to get you to that final decision with the schools who had kind of been on you the longest.
So really just sticking with the schools that have been on me the longest. I'm a huge family guy. I'm not going to trust someone who just comes up out of nowhere too often. They really have to show me some. So just knowing like the schools in my top five, especially Illinois, they've been there with me like throughout my junior year, my sophomore year. It's really just they see my potential early on and definitely followed me throughout, you know, my high school career.
And I know in a lot of the coverage on the 24/7 Sports Network, you've talked about your connection to Coach Frazier, Coach Underwood, how you've been able to develop that. But what was it specifically about Illinois that made them your pick?
What stood out really was that they really wanted to develop me. And I know as an undersized, kind of weird, not your average basketball player, I got to go somewhere where I can depend on someone to develop me IQ-wise on the court, and just off the court, just making me into a better man. And I feel like there was nobody else better to do it than Coach Underwood and Coach Frazier.
Well, I got good news for you. Your basketball IQ is already pretty darn good. So that's not going to be too hard. For Illinois fans who haven't seen you play yet, you've talked a little bit about how you're a little bit of an unconventional player. I would call you just one of the toughest matchup problems in all of high school basketball. But how would you describe your game to Illinois fans who haven't seen you play yet?
Hard nose. I get the job done on both ends of the floor, whatever I got to do to win, I'm going to do it. I'm good at playmaking. I'm good at rebounding. I'm good at playing defense. I'm really just one of those everyday guys, and I can't wait to show it.
Imani already talking like his future coach. Brad Underwood's got to love hearing the everyday guy thing there. But Eric Boss, your national recruiting analyst, who does a great job, also joined Adam Finkelstein to talk about what Illinois is getting in Imani Hansberry.
And you guys have covered it pretty well. They're getting an incredibly productive player on both ends of the floor. You know, I think Imani really spoke to a lot when he talked about He started off as kind of a semi-overweight, undersized center at the beginning of his high school career. He's stretched out a little bit, and he's done an incredible job of getting himself into shape, and now the results have come with it. And it's really just his entire work ethic and mentality have been really impressive along the way. You know, a lot of kids, he entered high school with a big reputation and was thought to be a guy who was going to be highly ranked, and that didn't happen right away. He didn't cry about it on social media. He didn't talk about how everyone was overlooking him. He just stayed the course and put in the work, and now he's turned into, you know, a top 50 type player in the country. And what I love about speaking to him prior to the commitment, you know, he's excited that he's risen in the rankings and that people are starting to see what he can do, but he also feels like he's got another level that he can take his game to, and he really feels like by the end of his senior year, he's going to have himself in the conversation among the very, very best, you know, like the top 25, top 30 players in the country. I just love his mentality.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. And, you know, I think his mentality, this is something you and I have spoken about. The kids who get all that early hype is, you know, way too early on in the process. And the toll it can take on them to kind of figure it out. It takes a special young man with a special support system to not let that get to their head and to keep getting better at every step along the way and not get caught up in all the noise. He's really done that, hasn't he?
Yeah, no doubt. It's like if anyone who's just watched the broadcast, you could see he's a young man of great character. He's got charisma. He's got personality. You know, he's just one of those guys that is very, very likable, and there's nothing fake about him. And that kind of shows in the way he plays because he does all the little things. He does all the dirty work. He's constantly communicating with his teammates. He's got just great body language, just everything that you could want as a coach from a guy. You can see that, and that's why he really won guys over during the summer. But you know, Illinois being there early with Chester Frazier being a Baltimore native himself and having gone to Illinois and kind of being able to show him the roadmap, I think really help them build that early bond with him.
Now, you just mentioned Chester Frazier and, of course, the coaching. You got Brad Underwood there. How do you imagine Brad Underwood will utilize someone like Imani Hansberry? Or maybe can you speak to the versatility that someone like Hansberry offers a coach like Underwood?
Yeah, he's an ideal college four man at this point because he can play facing the rim. You can put him on the elbow and actually run a lot of offense through him because of his passing and his ball handling. You know, he told me that they kind of envisioned him playing an Al Horford-ish type role, which I can see some of that too as he continues to improve his jump shooting. But the more and more I watch that guy play this summer, I see a lot of Draymond Green and Imani Hansberry if we're going to talk comparisons in terms of a big who can get the ball and push it off of a rebound. He can make decisions in the open floor. If you want to play small, he could even play as a small ball five because of his toughness and his length. He just offers a lot of positional versatility. I think he can play any style of basketball. And, you know, he's rugged, and I think he's going to be Big Ten ready physically when he arrives on campus, which is always the biggest part for kids making that transition from high school to college.
So there you go. Great job by our national crew there. Derek Piper's going to have much more on what this means for Illini basketball at IlliniEnquirer.com. Adam Finkelstein has a piece up about what Illinois is getting in Hansberry, and Eric Bossy talked with Hansberry about his commitment as well. You can check all that out at IlliniEnquirer.com. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Illini Enquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcast. Everybody take care of each other. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Enquirer podcast.
CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it all on fire!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10/9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.